Good evening and welcome to the August 18th, 2022 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson?
Here.
Mr. Kay?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith is absent. Ms. Devine?
Here. All right, if everybody would stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First up, I would accept a motion to adopt the agenda for tonight's meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. This is a pretty exciting week, isn't it? Just need to make that comment. School has started, and I mean, it's so nice and calm in here, but I'm guessing it wasn't quite so calm in some other places, but just a lot of excitement this week. So first off, public participation. I don't believe we have any. And we do. We're excited to have Mr. Cox is here tonight for our High Point report. So it's good to see you. If you want to, would you like to share anything from the report? I know you emailed it. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I guess if anybody has any questions, I can answer anything.
Yeah. Okay. In case for those who might not be able to hear, I know that High Point's been going through a lot of construction, and they had some issues with the fire suppression system, and so that's really great news that they have gotten through that. I know they did a lot of juggling and changed a few things over the last couple weeks, so we can certainly appreciate going through situations like that, but that's great news. And I know from your report, I was just really excited. All the positions are filled now. There's the partnership with Honda Marysville for the auto tech program, and then the allied health staff person, Katie Johnson, sounds like she's got a lot of great experience that she brings with her to that position. So it's really exciting. So, yeah, great. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Do you have any questions of us? Okay. Okay, great. Next report, superintendent report, please.
Thank you. As you kind of mentioned, it's been a great first week. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. I wanted to make sure I give you an update on open positions. We currently have 4.5 open positions. We still have a half-time aide. Someone got offered a full-time job somewhere else, so that one came back on the list. A one-on-one nurse, it's just been problematic to find someone to fill that with the demand for nursing. MHS custodian, the custodian made a shift over to early college because we had an opening there, so now the opening will be at MHS. We're still down one IT person, and we just received a bus driver resignation in August. As you know, we've kind of gone through some shift in roles in central office, so I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. We did go ahead and eliminate the position of that Ashley had of CAO for this school year, but we've kind of shifted all those duties and absorbed that. So Tom, Chris, and Mark, I gave you a much more detailed report a couple weeks ago, but they are taking kind of the lead with curriculum work and instructional items and working directly with principals. Tom will also be helping as our special ed numbers have increased across the district, so he is helping Kim and also taking the lead with Title IX work. Jonathan and Tom will be evaluating principals, and then Jonathan is kind of shifting back to oversee testing, the CCIP, and EL services. So general, there's many more things under that list, as you know, but I just wanted to maybe come back and circle back with those high-level responsibilities. So we're going to continue to monitor that. We've had lots of conversations about making sure that everyone can fulfill those roles, and if we have complications, it might be something we post at a later time, but we eliminating that position will be a significant shift and kind of a load for all of us to pick up on for this year, but thought that that was the right call for right now. Enrollment, as you talked about, things being very exciting, I would say enrollment's been incredibly dynamic, would be the word. We are up to 414 students in kindergarten. That is down from last year, but we did shift some teachers out into other roles or other grade levels because we knew that number was trending down. So we're continuing to watch. The thing I would tell you is a class of 400 or 410 used to be kind of irregular. Now it seems to be the norm. So K1, 2 are all classes over 400. Normally we'd have, you know, maybe a 405, then a 370 for a couple years. So it seems to be that we're trending of that 400 size is much more common than prior. So at this point, I think Jonathan might have sent me three different emails today updating me on overflow at Raymond. So as of when I left work, Raymond has two students in third grade that are being overflowed and one fourth grader. So that number has dwindled down quite a bit. The one thing I would say are those are all new students to Raymond. They hadn't attended before. And then Edgewood currently has two students in kindergarten that are in overflow and attending another building. A quick construction update. At this point, we're continuing to work on our finishes package for both locations and working on a finalized timeline. So hopefully next month we can kind of give a better timeline. We're continuing to watch and work with OHM and Rusilli on inflation and costs and et cetera when we're making those decisions. Convocation, I will hit on first. Earlier this week, it was my pleasure to welcome everyone back to school, and I know several of you were there. I think it was great to have everyone back together. There was an excitement. We had the marching band play, and it was just a really fun day. We were able to have Chris Schmank and Bruce Daniels talk to the staff about why they're important in the community, and as well, Nan gave an address to the staff welcoming them back, so it was a great celebration. Past couple days have been staggered starts, so we have not had all kids in. That first day will actually be Monday because kindergarten was still going through testing, but I think I've been in every building except for one, and things seem to be going really, really well. So pretty happy about that. It was my honor also at convocation to announce that Keith Bayless from Edgewood Elementary Custodian is the Employee of the Year. So shout out to, there you go.
Yeah.
Shout out to Keith. I think he was a little embarrassed because I made him stand in front of everyone, but that's just kind of the guy he is. So was excited to do that. I also wanted to give a shout out to our Invent to Prevent group. They were featured on Channel 6 this week. I think I sent you the link to the video. I thought it was just a great representation of their work and the great things that are happening here for kids.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Diane? Good. Okay. All right. Next report, Treasurer's report.
Okay. I just had one thing I wanted to mention. We don't talk about it a lot, so some of you might not be super familiar with it, but we have the Union County Council of Governments. You'll be here referred to as the Union County COG. That's an organization. I'm not sure when that started. It was before my time, so sometime within the last 10 years or so, I would assume, where each entity, the school, the county, and the city, they took their fiber lines, the fiber lines that were owned by each of those entities, and basically combined them so that they were now owned by this Council of Governments, with the goal of, kind of creating some efficiencies there, as well as having a future goal of at some point being able to create revenue by having that asset. So it's been a long time coming, but at our last meeting, they actually approved an agreement with NK Telco that is will begin kickoff in early 2023 that will be able to offer retail internet to area businesses, which will then actually generate revenue. There's a phase two that would potentially then offer retail internet to just residential customers. Why that's really good news is we'll be able to use that revenue to help offset some of our internet costs, or there's been multiple times in the last few years where we've had a fiber line cut, whether it be by an automobile accident or we had a squirrel chew through a line at one point. You know, that revenue would then be able to cover those costs, as opposed to typically our permanent improvement fund having to pick up those costs. So very excited about the potential revenue generation with that project, and should help save the district dollars that they're currently spending.
I also had a little comment here about the safety grant too. I didn't know if you were planning to talk about that too.
We were just awarded a $450,000 safety grant through the state of Ohio. That safety grant has somewhat specific uses, allowable uses. I think Ryan Walker, I think him and also Tom Power spent a lot of time in applying for this grant, so they did a lot of work to get it. And the main things that grant's going to be used for is going to be some updates to some of the district security. Some of the cameras will be updated so that some of the cameras maybe don't have as clear of a picture as other cameras. When you have the camera, the video has to be recorded onto like sort of like a DVR is the way at least I understand it. So that system for the district is totally not working. What was not working, so that needed to be updated. So this grant's going to cover that cost, which is significant. And I think there were some more like equipment type items like the door badge swipes and those kinds of things. Good. And there's also an opportunity because when we applied, we actually received half. You were able to apply for a certain amount per building in the district, and we ended up getting half of what we asked for, and which was the allowable. We asked for the total allowable, we got half. So they actually just opened up the grant again to try to get that other half. So we'll be applying for that, and we'll see. I mean, the priority is going to be based on buildings that didn't receive that first amount. So I'm not sure what our chances are, but we're going to at least try.
Okay, good. Which reminded me, and I don't mean to go backwards here, but Diane, when we were talking about the safety here, I know that in one of your updates you did talk about that you had done a video with some of our local law enforcement, and I thought you might want to comment a little bit about that too, because that was pretty neat.
We just saw the first draft yesterday, so that's kind of why I didn't mention it. it's not ready for public consumption yet.
All right.
But I guess I put in my welcome back letter, and I think it would be a good time to mention that it does appear that the SRO, the extension of the SRO program, does seem to be coming fruition with the city, and it looks like before the end of the school year, we will be having SROs in each building at the elementary level. So that's a big step. I'm in continued conversations with Jamie Patton as well, and all have agreed to have a higher presence at the school while school is in session until a final agreement is reached.
Okay.
So
good, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just quick point of clarification. The safety grant cannot be applied to SROs. It has to be applied to hardware per
Correct.
The requirements of the grant.
Correct.
And is this grant in addition to our typical state funding, or is it part of our state funding?
It is in addition to, so it is a separate, it's its own separate fund.
Okay.
And which I might as well mention it now. So it's in my appropriations. You'll see an increase
right.
to fund 499. So when I did my appropriations, we hadn't really received any guidance yet on where that's going. So next month, you'll see a correction to this month. So it's I put it in 499, which is a state fund. They're actually calling it federal. Even though the state's giving it to us, it's coming from their ARP allocation. So it's going to be, I'll be reducing that and then moving it over to a federal fund. So just some accounting
gotcha.
Nonsense.
Okay. Thanks for the heads up.
No.
Any other questions or comments? Nope. Okay. I have four. Let's see, for my report, I've already welcomed everybody back to school, but I was not able to be there on Monday, but just really wanted to thank all of our staff members. You know, our hats are off to you. We wish you all a great year. And then this past Sunday, we had our community coffee. And although nobody attended, I would say it has been a really nice opportunity for our, as board members, to get to know each other a little bit better, having two new board members. So I think Nan and Bill spent more than an hour getting to know each other a little better. So that's nice. Our next one is going to be scheduled for September 11th. That is a Sunday. I want to also take this chance to thank the library because, you know, it's just such a wonderful gift to our community in general. And I think about the summer lunch program and all the other programs they offer. We're just really blessed to have them. So also wanted to note that we will be adding another coffee type situation. It's actually going to be called Conversation with the Board on September 7th. And this is going to be held at the Old Stone House in Broadway from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And rumor has it they has really, really good pizza there, I think. But I believe Mr. Smith and Mr. Keck are planning to be there for that one. And just a reminder to everybody, we can only have up to two board members at any of those kinds of events unless it is a formally announced meeting or something, you know, in which case we could all be there. But when it's not a real meeting, then we can only have up to two board members there due to sunshine laws and the open meetings requirements. Also, we did have a special meeting on August 8th, and we had several purposes for that special meeting. The first one was to review our 2021-2022 work plan. Some of the highlights from that last year were that our board was one of only two in the entire state to be recognized as a board of distinction by the Ohio School Boards Association. Dick Smith was added to the ranks of Master Board Member, which is a lifetime achievement offered by Ohio School Boards Association. And those accomplishments align with one of our goals, which is to commit to ongoing professional development as school board members. And I'd say that we're off to another good start this year. We also discussed the superintendent and treasurer goals for the school year. Their goals are aligned to our revised district strategic plan. They cover the areas of student achievement, community partnerships, financial stability, and safety and wellness. Diane and Todd were not at that special meeting. It was just a board work session. So I did share some of the conversations that we had regarding their goals and some of the comments that were made. And so Diane and Todd are both going to make a few minor revisions and send those revised goals back out to us so that we can start that, you know, our process for the year to be overseeing them and having some of those discussions. We also briefly discussed the work plan for this current year and agreed to complete some homework for a follow-up meeting. So I'm hoping that August 29th might work for everybody for a follow-up meeting where we can try and hopefully finalize our work plan for this year. Board activities. I know It's the start of the school year. We always look forward to the opportunity for building visits. It's a little bit early to talk about that, but you know, maybe in September, October. So we'll try and get something scheduled for that. And then again, going back to those whole to Diane and Todd's goals, this year we're going to be doing our informal conversations, and I'm kind of looking at the end of September, mid-November, end of January, mid-March, for one or two of us to meet with both Diane and Todd individually and just have discussions about, you know, how are things going with the goals? Are there things that we can do to help out as a, you know, as the board, or, you know, challenges, whatever. So so we'll get those scheduled here in the next month or so. And then events for us, we have the Central Region Fall Conference on September 21st. The OSBA Capital Conference is November 13th to the 15th. And then finally, but my last comment is just a reminder for everybody to be following our bus safety laws. Be extra alert when you're driving around the school buildings, especially during drop-off and pickup times. And I wanted to thank the city because they've been using some of their electric signs around to remind people, and thought that was a nice gesture on their part to do that. And so that's it for my report. Do we have a student achievement report? Nan.
Okay. So for student achievement, the first thing I wanted to talk about, it's actually the legislative open house, which is going to be hosted on August 23rd at Tolles Tech. I have gone to those in the past, and they are pretty informative. If you have time, it's not a bad idea to attend. I have forwarded the email, the student achievement email, to everyone to take a look at. Not to toot our own horn or anything, but to be honest, Marysville is doing a lot of the stuff that they feature in the student achievement, especially this particular month. So I'm very proud of the work our district has done regarding personalized learning, credit catch-up, STEM activities, College Credit Plus. So, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments of Nan? All right. Our legislative report, Mr. Smith obviously is not here this evening. He did email his report, noting that the legislature is in recess until November. So I don't know that there's really anything to discuss for that. I guess the only thing I would say is that Todd did send that information about joining the costs connected to joining that voucher coalition. So I'm not really hearing a lot of interest in doing that at this point. But we have that information, and if anybody has any comments or questions, feel free to ask or comment.
Yeah. Can you just remind me again, what was the cost? It was a per student cost, I believe.
$2,000
per student. That would be a pretty big cost for.
No.
I think it was $2 or $2 something per student.
Yes,
per student.
I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, because it was going to end up being about
over 10,000.
Yeah, a little over 10,000. Yeah, sorry. Brain fog. Yeah, just a minor difference there. Yeah, sorry about that. And that is that's an annual fee, I believe.
They do typically request annually. Yes.
Right. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Safety and Drug Committee report, Mr. Ferguson.
Thank you. The Union County Drug Free Coalition Advisory Board met on Tuesday, August 16th, so this week. I know Nancy Bills is recruiting students for the this year's Teen Prevention Leadership Academy. So that is happening. The Ohio Healthy Youth Environment Survey, this was a topic of our discussions, will be conducted in the participating school districts between September and December. And then the data will be analyzed and brought back to the coalition roughly around March of 23. The Union County Health Department and Wing Support and Recovery invites the community to an event called Overdose Awareness Day. This will be held at Memorial Health Pavilion on Wednesday, August 31st, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be free food trucks, but the more important events is an opportunity to observe a memorial type service of the lives lost due to addiction, a health fair, and Narcan training. In October, there will be a Celebrate Life, Live Drug Free event held at the Avalon Theater on October 18th from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. This event will include live music, and there's some discussions trying to incorporate some youth bands or some youth there to bring parents out to this event and also increase student involvement. But they have a guest speaker, Nadine Muzzerall. I hope I pronounced that correctly. She is the Ohio State University's women hockey coach. She's also a resident of Union County and a champion. This coach helped guide the women Buckeye team to a national championship, first in the university's history. So that's the speaker. It's pretty exciting. That same week, the 18th through the 29th, is a Red Ribbon Week, which is a national drug abuse prevention campaign. So there'll be very multiple events for students and community members to engage in throughout that week. Just a reminder for the Union County Drug-Free Coalition, Empowering Teens to Live Healthy Drug-Free Lifestyles podcast. They will actually record their next episode at the Richwood Independent Fair on August 31st at 10:30 a.m., so 10:30 to noon. So if you want to see a podcast conversation in action, that would be a good opportunity to attend. A significant part of our meeting was over Ohio Senate Bill 261. It's a correction bill to the Ohio medical marijuana. So I know previously we talked about the initiative for recreational marijuana use, the petitions, being aware of that, understanding what you're signing. This one is to really amend some of the current regulations for the Ohio medical marijuana. It will change the regulatory agency from the Department of Pharmacy, which is currently under, to Commerce. So similar to hemp. It will permit prescriptions to be given or prescribed via telehealth, which some have concerns. Right now, you have to have an in-person physical, and so telehealth. And it will add medical conditions to include autism without the approval of the state medical board. So there are some significant concerns. The good thing about this call is we have judges, we have our state legislator, Tracy Richardson, on the call, so there was very good discussions, and I think that's the value of this coalition is to have everyone kind of together to examine the issues and to kind of hear everyone out on this. And the coalition will issue a statement in opposition to this bill. So if anyone asks any questions, we encourage the community to contact our state legislators. You don't necessarily have to contact State Representative Richardson, but maybe the state senator, Bill Reinecke. Richardson is opposed to this bill. So there were some incidences of some of our shops in town selling to underage minors. So a tobacco shop and there's also a liquor issue as well. So just be on the lookout. Even though we have laws in place, sometimes those laws are not followed or upheld. We have law enforcement that are doing those investigations and catching them. So that's how these incidences came from undercover. So just be aware of where your children are at and our teens, especially, and where they're shopping and hanging out at, because just because it's illegal to sell doesn't mean it can't get into their hands. So just those helpful reminders. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could you just remind us again what that House bill, is it the House bill or Senate bill?
It's a Senate bill.
And
the Senate president is actually the sponsor, so this bill does have momentum.
Right. What's the number again?
261.
Okay. All right.
Are there any questions?
Lots of good information for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I, again, I was sorry that we couldn't have the Teen Prevention Leadership Academy present to us. I know in July it was a little bit late. They only had one available. And then in August, I think they probably were all off to new things for themselves and not available. Right. So, yeah. Hopefully that'll work out this year. Thank you.
So this new teen advisory committee will do a project again, and they'll probably present to the board if we have time in the spring months, early summer.
Okay, I know those are crazy months. You know, that's the other issue, but we'll see.
That's their goal. Yes,
that's right. Okay, we'll try and fit them in though. Thank you very much. All right. I would now accept a motion to approve draft minutes from our July 21st regular meeting and our August 8th special meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any corrections, comments, questions about the minutes? If not, roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now I would accept a motion to approve one of us as the delegate for the 2022 Annual Business Association meeting at the Capitol Conference. This meeting would be held on Monday, November 14th at 2:30 p.m. at the Capitol Conference. I don't know if anybody's jumping up and down. I haven't done it for a while. I'm willing to do it if other people are tired of doing it, because I know, Nan, you've done it several times.
Yeah.
Would you like to do it?
I'll do it.
Well, okay, then do we have a motion to nominate Nan Savage?
I move to nominate Nan Savage.
All right.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mr. Keck, a second by Mr. Ferguson. Roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we have our delegate. And now we also need to approve an alternate for the same day in case Ms. Savage cannot attend.
I'll do it.
Okay. You want to make?
I would like to nominate Bill Keck as the alternative to the business meeting.
All right. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ferguson. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you both for offering your time to attend that meeting. I know that we will be getting information about that business meeting. They always send us what the platform changes are, and that way if anybody has questions or concerns, and we want our delegate to share them at the meeting, we can discuss
just for
that.
Informational purposes. Mm-hmm. We usually get a packet maybe three to four weeks ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So I'll make sure that I get you copies of that packet so you can kind of go through, and they highlight all the change points.
Yeah.
So it's a good chance for you to read the whole platform. It's probably 20 pages.
Maybe a little longer. Mm-hmm. It's pretty long. Yeah.
And so I'll get that to you whenever.
And actually, I think we get I think it's emailed in one of the OSBA.
That's either right. They started doing that.
Yeah, I can't remember which one, but they'll send something out, and we'll just remind everybody of that as well. So great, thank you. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Todd, anything you'd like to share with us?
We already discussed the big item on the appropriations. We just note, you know, these are the July financials, so this is the first month of fiscal year 23. You'll see there's no variances. It's not because I was so good and guessed everything down to the penny in July. I just, when we do July, I update all of the estimates, the estimated months. So the forecast, the cash flow is updated based on the May 2022 five-year forecast. A couple items that you don't typically see on there, except for once a year. We're asking for, reporting our annual earnings from our PNC purchasing card, which were $8,700. That's basically similar to having a credit card and getting points. At the end of the year, we get a check, basically a rebate back from that. So we kind of intentionally buy certain items using that purchasing card in order to try to save some money. And also, we're also required to report to the board each year our investment earnings from commercial paper, which was $23,000 last school year.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Huh?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. With the investment on the paper, I'm not aware. Can you give a brief summary of that? Because I'm not.
Commercial paper basically is, you know, you think of it in terms of when we as a school need to buy a school building, we issue bonds, okay? And that's how we get our revenue, and that creates a debt that goes along with that. Commercial paper is, in essence, a company also needs money. They need capital to do some project of some sort. Instead of selling stock, which a school district is not allowed to buy, they're able to, in essence, it's kind of like issuing bonds, like it's a private company issuing bonds, and that's one investment vehicle that school districts are allowed to purchase. It's more secure and stable than actual stock, but it is actually through companies. And there's a certain threshold. We're only allowed to buy a certain percentage of our investment can be in commercial paper. So our investment advisor makes sure that we, abide by those rules and things.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I'm guessing that interest rates, things like that, are favorable to
typically
savings accounts or other types of investments.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, as a school, we're not really able to invest in very many things that are right. You're really gonna knock
risky.
Your socks off interest rates. So, but at the same time, it's sure a lot better right now than it was a year or two ago.
Yeah.
No Bitcoin.
No.
Okay, great. Any other questions or comments? All right, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve our superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Diane.
I don't think there's anything too unusual. We have new hires, certainly a long list of supplementals. There is revision to the classified handbook and also to our school handbooks. The school handbook revision is required because we have Mr. Chafin listed as our Title IX, and now that's changed to Mr. Holdren. So that helps us get in line legally. You do have the calendar for approval, bus routes, and student teachers, and some policies.
Oh, yeah. I would note that the majority of the policies are the second read, the ones that we had the first read of last month. But there are two in there, again, related to this change in our
yes.
Title IX and compliance officer. So it's just a one read on this policy because we're really just changing the name on there.
Correct.
And I'm sure you guys all have closely reviewed all those bus stops, right? So you feel confident. I look at those sometimes and think, wow, it's, if you like doing puzzles, that'd be a great job for you, right? I would also note, for the new hires, it's just exciting to see new faces when we get a chance to meet some of these new people, but also wanted to thank those who are resigning, thank them and wish them the best. Any questions? Otherwise, nope. All right. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. You guys, we probably have about 20 minutes each to make comments and questions so that we can at least get to 1 hour for the meeting, right? This is a record breaker here. Mr. Keck, let's start with you. Do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. I just want to say that convocation was awesome. I've been to many of them, and that one would top any that I've been to. So it was a good time for everybody, I believe. Great way to kick off a school year.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nan.
Okay, I want to go ahead and do a shout out for Chris Schmank and for Bruce Daniels for speaking at the convocation. I thought both their comments were very pertinent, and I wanted to emphasize one of the comments that came out of Bruce's speech was his comment that we're in a culture of criticism right now, and what we really want to be is in a culture of optimism, and that's something that the school district has been working towards for as long as I've been involved, building a sense of hope in all of our students. So I really appreciate their message. Again, I thought everybody had a really good time. So I'm hoping for a great year. I want to do a little shout out about the signs that the district's been putting in the yards of all of our students. And I personally have received tons of positive feedback. The kids were really excited about getting the signs. Thank you very much. I also want to point out that it takes a ton of volunteers to operate the school district, and each time one of these volunteer lists comes through, I'm constantly amazed at the literally hundreds and hundreds of people that are volunteering with their time with the school district. So, and I want them to know how appreciated they are. And shout out for the football pep rally that's going on at Memorial Pavilion right now, I would say.
Go Monarchs.
Yeah. I think that's a wonderful activity for the community to build community spirit. And one more about the High Five React team. Mm-hmm. So I watched the link, but it's always better to watch it on the TV. So congratulations to that team. It's wonderful. They had a great opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C. and present in front of a group of people. So they did a wonderful job. And I appreciate their message, working with younger students on a anti-bullying / get to know each other better message. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ferguson.
Yes. For tonight, I just want to share some words from Dr. Benjamin E. Mays as we enter this new school year. I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, did not seek it, did not choose it, but it's upon me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. And I think the impact is in the minute. It's in those 60 seconds. And we can look at everyone else and say, change the world, but we have an opportunity in education to change the next generation in that little minute, from this board all the way down. And so this is a guiding poem that I kind of try to govern my life upon, and I think it's, the school year just begun, but it's just those small interactions that will make the difference. So I just want to share those words. Thank you.
Thank you. Todd, any questions or comments?
And nothing to add.
All right. Diane.
I would only say best of luck to fall sports. First home football game is tomorrow night. Also on the topic of the signs, we are working to get them to everyone. They went out through open houses. We're asking parents again with a link tomorrow or today should have gone out to parents saying if you didn't get one, we're on our way. Let us know. So we are hoping to have that all resolved by Monday, which was the goal for the first day for everyone. I would also make sure that I just reminded everyone I sent in a news or a letter this week that starting on September 12th from 5 to 6:30, and then every Monday night after, I will be hosting open hours. So anyone from the community, parent, community member, students can come in and talk about what's on their mind, heart. That could be a celebration or a concern. So I'll be running those right now at the board office. It will shift locations when construction starts, but.
Okay. Great. I know. I thought that was a great thing to, you know, when I saw that just with everything going on. And again, when I think about our strategic plan, I mean, we really are committed to engaging our community more. And I look back over the past couple of years, everything that's been done to work with families and students. And I agree. I think the signs were such a wonderful idea, and today I was driving down 4th Street, and like, wow, like every other house, I saw the sign there, and it just warms my heart. So thank you for doing that. That was great. Just a couple other reminders. I know Nan already said something about the Central Region Legislative Open House this next on the 23rd. There's also a Business Impact Breakfast on the 25th. Registration is required. I think this is the one that's a combined one with Logan County. Let's see, and then there's also an online OSBA town hall that's focused on back-to-school supports. That's also on August 25th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. I wanted to also do a shout out to Texas Roadhouse. I know Mr. Langhouse and I, along with several other Marysville staff members, attended a partner's lunch a week or so ago, and they were just kind of sharing some ways that they can support our area students and staff. We also managed to enjoy a few of their rolls and butter and some of their delicious food. But it was just, it was a really nice event, and I thought just a great example of how many wonderful businesses we have out there that really want to partner with us and do some great things for students and staff. I'll also do a shout out for the React 5 team. I cannot wait to see the group in action this year. I know I've seen a couple of the members over the summer, and they're just excited to expand that club and try some new things. And I would also note that at tomorrow night's first home football game, it is also Ag Appreciation Night. And our FFA grew some corn over the summer, and they're gonna be offering that. So come hungry to the game, and let's beat New Albany. Good luck, Monarchs, and to all of our fall teams. I would now accept a motion to adjourn our meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 6:43. Thank you.